Across the country, it's just under 50%, but in the more remote places, it's much higher. And it can be, from the evidence that I've collected, it can range from two-thirds of adults up to over 80% of adults smoking.
That's 80%. That's a lot of people smoking there, 80%. What would be the national average in non-Indigenous communities? Because 80% just sounds...
The national average is under 50%.
Under 50%.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, there's a quite a huge, huge difference. And your studies show that it's possible to reduce this high prevalence to something more acceptable.
Yes, well, it's certainly possible to reduce exposures. And I say this because we know that there's a lot of people who would rather not be smokers if they could find ways to get away from smoking. And you can imagine that in a small community where almost every adult is a smoker, or at least two-thirds may be, it's very hard to get away by yourself and not be exposed to tobacco smoke. That's not considering the issues that surround exposure to secondhand smoke for people who aren't smokers, particularly young people and children.
Smoking is something that's common in their families, in their environment, so they take up smoking so easily. But how are you going to be able to stop that?
A community organisation in the Northern Territory has decided that it wants to try to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke in particular. So the Arnhem Land Progress Association, combined with the Aboriginal Resource and Development Services, have been funded by the Commonwealth jointly to address smoking in households, to encourage people through a range of incentives to make their households smoke-free.
Smokers usually need, some will need actually medical help, like there are some patches that are distributed, psychological follow-up, and so many other ways, because smoking is not something that one, especially if they've been smoking all their lives, someone who's in their 50s, 60s, and they've started smoking when they were teenagers, it's extremely hard to stop.
You're right, many people will need individual help. However, there's also good evidence from studies that we've done that shows that when people are not living in a crowded community environment where there is high levels of exposure to smoke around them, they are actually able to take steps to quit themselves. And unfortunately, when going back into those same environments, they start smoking again, they relapse. The idea of this program is to increase the number of spaces actually within the community where people can be smoke-free, get away from being exposed to secondhand smoke. And we think the best place to do this is to try to support people in their own homes, to make their own homes smoke-free for a start. A number of community organisations have made shops, council buildings, other facilities around the communities smoke-free. Some workplaces are smoke-free in compliance with Northern Territory legislation. So what we're aiming to do is not focus on smokers per se, but focus on changing the environments in which many people are exposed to secondhand smoke.
And that's is really, really a welcome initiative. In communities where they smoke 24/7, it really sounds like a big mountain to climb.
It's a really difficult problem where many people are smokers. It's really difficult to get away from tobacco smoke.
Yeah.
What this project is aiming to do is to provide those breathing spaces, if you like, for people to be away from other smokers and the secondhand smoke that they exhale.
Yeah. And what's the time? What's the timeline for this initiative?
The initiative is starting now. Yeah. The communities are being engaged to work in this project. And the Commonwealth funding is for 2 years, yeah, beginning at the middle of this year for the Aboriginal Resource and Development Services. So the project is underway now, and it has a two-year time frame.
Will it be measurable?
We aim to increase the number of houses in the communities participating, yeah, who have smoke-free strategies in place by 50% at the end of the project. And if we can do that, I mean, already people are trying to control tobacco exposure in their communities and in their houses. What we're trying to do is provide resources that can help them to go another step further and increase the level of management of tobacco, expired tobacco smoke in their communities, and particularly in their houses.
How about the cultural aspect of the project? Because smoking becomes a habit. There's also cultural practices that people who are a little bit older feel they start smoking. It's okay for them to smoke. Cultural sensitivity in this case, how is it going to be approached?
You're right. There are cultural rules and mores surrounding smoking that are both opportunities and barriers to making change. However, the organisations involved who are driving this project have specific experience over many, many years of working with people in community education modes. These bilingual educators who are also Indigenous and also from the communities are able to carry the message and the understandings about the harms from secondhand smoke to the rest of the community. So through that mechanism of cultural interpretation and navigation, we're hoping to get the messages about the harms from smoke across to people to help them make changes.
The National Heart Foundation Vanguard is also supporting this project.
The National Heart Foundation grant is designed to provide resources for evaluating this project so that we develop good measures of change.
Yeah.
One measure is the number of houses that have smoke-free strategies in place, and another measure is the level of secondhand smoke particulate in the atmosphere that can be measured. And we're hoping for a change in that as well. So if houses go smoke-free, we should be able to measure that with the technology available.